Hello, everyone. Once again, my name is Lily Jackson, and I'm Privacy Counsel for Morgan Lewis. At this part of the presentation, I'm going to introduce you guys to you guys the basic requirements for an effective incident response plan. So first, let's start off with just the basics. How many of you guys are familiar with a basic incident response plan or know what it is? So tell me, what do you think it is? Good job. That's you took over the presentation. You said everything that I was going to say next. And yes, he is correct. An incident response plan is just a predetermined set of instructions on how you're going to act in case a cyber attack occurs. The next one is who needs to be included in implementing an IRP. And that's that specific department, the incident response managers within that department. The next point is when does an IRP need to be implemented? An IRP should be implemented now, and then, of course, it's not going to take into effect until a data breach occurs. I included this slide here so that way you guys can get a visual picture of the six steps that should be included within an IRP. The first step is going to be preparation. And in the preparation phase, you're just going to determine where you guys are weak at in the system. The next phase is going to be identification. And in this phase, you're going to identify the who, what, when, where, and how. The next one is going to be containment. And in a containment phase, you're going to try to contain the issue so that it will not spread to the overall organization. The fourth point is going to be eradication. And eradication is where you're going to identify the root cause of the issue. The fifth step is going to be recovery, and in a recovery phase, that's when you're planning on bringing the system back up online. And then the sixth step is going to be lessons learned. To me, the most important step is the containment phase because you do not want it to spread to cause any more harm than the damage that it has. So now we're going to present to you guys the ethical obligations in responding to a data breach. And I'm going to pass it back to Skylin.
Okay, so ethics are something that we all as lawyers are required to do. Oftentimes as lawyers, depending upon the issue that has arisen, we're not necessarily sure of which obligations in the Texas Rules of Disciplinary Conduct we're supposed to abide by. So the discussion that we're about to go into now is not a full extensive list of all of the ethical obligations. These are just, I believe it's top seven or eight that we found to be important. But of course, please search the rules and digest them for yourself and ask questions to senior counsel or general counsels or to your mentors about what those ethical obligations are and how they could apply to your role. So the first one, competency. I know a lot of times when technology is discussed, a lot of eyes glaze over, or you know, you'll have an engineer who's speaking in code, or it sounds like Mandarin Chinese, and it's just complicated, right? But you have this duty as a lawyer to be competent in technology. In fact, in the past two or three years, the United States Supreme Court provided additional guidance to this rule of competency and specifically stated that because technology is changing, lawyers now have this duty to be competent in the technology that either their firms use or their clients are using. And so if you're representing a mortgage lending company, there's all types of technology that are involved in the processing of consumer data and in the processing of your employees' data. And I'm not saying that you have to go and sit and get these certifications and all this and that, but you have to have a general understanding of what is being discussed with your engineers and your product teams so that you can properly advise. So it's okay to raise your hand and ask those questions. In fact, for me, the way that I became a technology lawyer was I pulled my CISO, my chief information security officer at my past company, into a separate room, and we literally whiteboarded out the architecture of my company. So that way I could have a general sense and understanding of what was happening. So when I'm contracting to those things, at least I'm familiar with the technology to be able to build in the contractual protections for my customer in our agreements with our customers. So one of the most important aspects of that incident response plan, like Lily said, is to have the people who are going to be involved in responding to a cyber attack specifically identified. And if you're a lawyer, you or one of your colleagues within your department need to be mentioned in that incident response plan. There should never be a breach that the lawyer of the company is not familiar with. However, whenever you're responding to that breach, you do have, again, that duty of competency. And in that duty of competency, you cannot neglect the matter entrusted to the lawyer. So unfortunately, or luckily, in my career, I've had one security breach occur. And I was up in the middle of the night trying to work with our marketing team, our security team, on how to, one, communicate it to our customer, but also contain it so it does not continue to get to other customer data. And in that, though I would have rather been sleeping, I could not neglect the issue. So I had to get up and I had to be responsive to my team. And if I wouldn't have provided that guidance, perhaps they could have said something incorrectly, right? Because before your client speaks, you want to make sure that it is within the confines of what's obligated and nothing more, nothing less. Also, you have to frequently carry out completely the obligations and duties of your client. So if you have a data protection addendum that's in place, even if your chief security officer does not want you to yet go out and tell the customer, you as the lawyer have to be competent enough to understand, here are the guidelines of where my duty lies, and our company has to provide this type of notification. Even though we may not think that the breach is significant, we have to provide this notification so that we're in line with the agreement.